Hello and welcome, and this is a first experiment in live broadcasting, which I hope will prove successful and an ongoing feature. I'm David Mackworth. I'm a Christian evangelist, also a medical doctor, currently involved in a legal tussle with the government over the question of transgender pronouns. But the desire here and the hope here is that we might be able to do some good by ministering the word of God, by encouraging the people of God and setting forth the Lord Jesus Christ as the Saviour of the world. He is indeed my Saviour and I love him, the one who has saved me from my sins. And I give thanks to God for that with all my heart. Now, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and that's true. We have a spiritual warfare against the spiritual forces of darkness. But in this case, we're not just wrestling against powers of darkness, we're wrestling against technology as well, it seems. So this live broadcast will either be going out live on Christian sermons and audiobooks, which I hope it is, administered by Richard Moore, which would be great, but it's just possible it's only going out on my channel, which is also good. But the desire is that this regular broadcast would be undertaken on Christian sermons and audiobooks. Now, before I come to a short exposition of God's Word, I would like to recommend another channel, one which I think has been a real blessing to me, and that channel is the channel Is Genesis History. Is Genesis History, fronted by Del Tackett, has produced a marvellous, wonderful feature-length video entitled Is Genesis History, and I would highly recommend that to you. The reason I'm recommending that today is because the organisation is producing a new video, and that video should be coming out soon, but they're also seeking to crowdfund it. And if you would go to the Is Genesis History page on YouTube, you'll find a short video detailing how you can help, if you wish, with that crowdfunding. I believe it's a worthy project, and I hope it will come to fruition very soon. For example, preaching in the open air last Saturday, I came to the point where I was preaching on Noah being a preacher of righteousness, and preaching on the importance of being in God's ark, the Lord Jesus Christ, for our salvation. And of course, we have the problem that when we preach on Noah, people immediately think of plastic animals, toy arks, children's books with stylized Noahs, or maybe even the movie Noah, which I haven't seen. But which I understand goes a long way from staying true to the scriptures, to the Bible, which is the information we have on the subject. What Is Genesis History are doing is seeking to produce a video that explains and shows in an understandable format how the world got its current form. So how the mountains were formed, how the continents were formed and things like that. Now, this is a fascinating subject and one of considerable interest to me, and I hope to others as well, because all the evidence for the flood is there. But as with evidence for creation as opposed to evolution, we harden our hearts, we close our eyes, we create our false science to explain things away because we don't like to retain the knowledge of God. I'm going to read one verse from the scriptures, and this verse is in Matthew's Gospel. And this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13 and verse 44, one of Jesus' parables, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ himself who's speaking. Let us hear the word of God. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. So, may God bless that reading of his word to us. Let us pray. Father, we pray that we would all learn something from your word now, that we'd all sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, including myself, Lord, to sit at his feet, to feed from him, to learn from him, to delight in him, to fellowship with him, and, oh Lord, to live and love him and live for his glory. Father, we pray that you would convict us of our sins. We pray, Father, that you would cleanse us from our sins in the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we commend ourselves to you now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, here's a story of a man who found a field with treasure in it. One of the things that I've come across is a series entitled The Curse of Oak Island. Now, I haven't seen any episodes of this, only just short excerpts. But my understanding of Oak Island is that it's an island somewhere off the coast of Canada, very wild. And at some point, several hundred years ago, some pirates buried their treasure there in a special chamber with many traps, with many defences against that treasure ever coming out again. And it's said to be fantastical treasure, massive treasure, unbelievable treasure. And many have worn themselves out trying to get that treasure out of the ground. And to give you an example of how interesting this is, there are 8 series of multiple episodes of a current team that are digging and trying to find that treasure buried on Oak Island. It seems the ground is so swampy and so changeable and the terrain is so difficult that the treasure, first of all, it's very difficult to find where it is on such an island. And secondly, it's very, very hard to dig down and to get down and to find it. And the men who are producing this series are obsessed with finding the treasure. They're obsessed with digging down. They're obsessed with getting it. And they have spent all of their time and all of their money and all of their resources year after year trying to get to this treasure. They know that the treasure is there. They have evidence of that. But they haven't been able to get to it yet. Now, imagine you were those pirates and you had buried your treasure. What use is buried or hidden treasure to you? You could say, I am very rich. I'm very rich. I have buried treasure. And yet that treasure is of no value to you whatsoever because you can't get to it. There are those who have huge bank balances and they say, I'm very rich, but what can they do with it? There are those who have massive investments, billionaires and more, but they can't get to it because it's buried in investments, all of their money and everything else. Now, this isn't a message about money or how to get rich. You find plenty of those on YouTube. They come at you all the time. This is a message about a different kind of treasure. But when there is treasure, people go crazy. It would be possible to buy Oak Island, and anybody who owns Oak Island would be able to say, I own the treasure of Oak Island. And that would be true. You would own that treasure. But what good is it to you if it remains hidden, if it remains underground, if it remains unused? So when we come to this verse, this parable of Jesus, he talks about a man who, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he have and buyeth that field. Here's a man who's found treasure. He actually knows where the treasure is. He knows how to access the treasure. But he can't just take it with him. He can't just remove it. He can't just have it. He must buy it. Now, this treasure that this man found, he thought it was worthwhile giving everything that he had for the sake of finding this treasure. Last week in the open air, while I was preaching here in Hull, a man came up to me and said, where can I get a Bible? Well, I said, there's a bookshop round the corner. You can buy one for a fiver. But he said, give me your Bible. And I considered this, because it's very hard when a man asks you for a Bible not to give him one. But this was my open-air preaching Bible. It was a Bible of particular calibre, which has been well used for the preaching of God's word. And I was not keen to part with it, because it would be hard to replace it. Now, if this man had shown that he was determined to read it and very hungry for the word of God, I would have had no hesitation in giving it to him. But in this case, this man wasn't willing to spend £5 on a Bible which he could have obtained by going into a shop just round the corner. He had not really shown that he wanted to know the Word of God, to have the Word of God, to have the Bible. And of course I'm saying here that our first definition of treasure is ownership of the Word of God, of the Bible. You see, he had accounted it to be of little value. He had accounted it to be something that he could get free of charge and perhaps throw away without any difficulty. I once gave a gospel to a Muslim girl who asked me for one, and she took it and put it straight in the bin. No valuing the word of God, no concern, no understanding of what it is that she was holding in her hands. So this man wasn't prepared to spend £5 on a Bible. You say, well, maybe he didn't have £5. Well, he could smoke. He had a phone. And you can get a Bible on your phone free of charge and read that. The problem is not that we don't have the ability to get Bibles. We have Bibles everywhere. The problem is we don't see the incomparable treasure of having a Bible. Now, I learned over many years that what people don't pay for, they tend not to value. And therefore, it's better for me to say to this man, go and buy, make an effort, lift a little finger, go and buy a Bible and read it yourself, than just to give him what he wants on a plate and have him despise it. I hope he does get a Bible, I hope he does read it, and I hope he finds Jesus Christ through that. Now, we are living in a day when we can get the Bible very, very easily, but it's not always been so. Some years ago, we had a holiday in Wales near Cader Idris, the second highest mountain in Wales, and a beautiful, beautiful area. And we visited the church where the girl was that was known because she was converted at the age of 8, and she, Mary Jones and her Bible, that's the one. She was converted at the age of 8, Mary Jones. She lived in a humble cottage. She was the daughter of weavers. And she was converted at the age of 8. And from that time onwards, she was desperate to have a Bible. And that girl did everything she possibly could to save money. And she worked hard, even though she was a child. And she put together penny after penny until she had enough to buy a Bible. And the nearest Bible she could buy was 26 miles away. And so she walked 26 miles over the mountains barefoot in order to buy a Bible. And when she got there, there weren't any for sale. And of course, she was heartbroken. But the minister that she went to, I think it was Evan Griffith, was so kind that he found a way of getting her a Bible. Now, you can imagine, after 7 years of working so hard, day and night, wanting a Bible, wanting the Word of God, how she felt when she got that Bible. And she brought it back with her, and it became her daily meat to read God's Word. And you see, she gave everything that she possibly could to get that Bible, to get that treasure. And not only that, but the fruit of her walking over the mountains to buy a Bible was that the society was set up, the Religious Tract Society, to produce scriptures for the Welsh people. And many more people were blessed because of that, and the Bible was disseminated widely. Now, supposing you had a field with treasure in it, and you didn't even know that treasure. Supposing you saw that treasure, and you didn't even value that treasure. You see, so many people have a Bible, but they don't read it. So many people have a Bible, but they don't concern themselves with it. This man bought the field. He gave everything he had. He was willing to work day and night. He understood the value of the treasure. But there are those today who have the same treasure, but they don't do anything. They don't recognize it for what it is. This man recognized the value of the treasure, and he gave everything for it. There was no sacrifice he wouldn't make. There was nothing he wouldn't sell. There was no work he wouldn't do in order to bring his affairs together so that he could buy that field. There are those who have Bibles, but they sit on the shelf gathering dust. There are those who have Bibles which are stored in the loft. There are those who have Bibles that were given to them at their christening, but never touch them. And there are those who at the first opportunity will send their Bibles to the second-hand bookshop or to the charity shop. Now, for me, this has been a boost, because if I go around second-hand bookshops, I tend to buy... You can get old, old Bibles, leather-clad, very tough, for a few pounds. And these are good to buy up, because in the open air, people sometimes grab the Bible and try and tear it off you. And if you've got a strong leather cover, they can't do it. It's also good because if you have a leather-bound Bible and it starts to rain, if you hold it in a certain way, it tends not to get wet. So it's worth buying these Bibles. But the fact that you can get the Bible for a few pounds, such a beautiful Bible for a few pounds, shows that this treasure has been undervalued to the point of being devalued to nothing. You can put away your television. You can put away all your other books. This book is like no other book. The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is able to make us wise unto salvation. The Bible edifies us. It encourages us. But it also is like a mirror that shows us who we really are. It exposes us, warts and all. It shows our sins. It shows our lostness. It warns us of the reality of hell. It warns us of the certainty of judgment. It shows us, for example, in this generation, that we are living very close to our Lord's return. It shows us so many things about ourselves. It teaches us about God. It shows us that God is a holy Trinity. There is one God, but three persons within the Godhead: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, we could not know that apart from the Bible. The way that we are to know God, God has chosen to reveal to us in his word, in the Bible, that he is a Trinity, three persons equal within the Godhead. And apart from the Bible, we cannot know that. Creation shows us that we have a creator. Creation shows us that there is a Godhead, but it doesn't show us that that Godhead is a Holy Trinity. So if we want to know what God is like, we must have our Bibles. Now, there are so many who don't value the Bible. They don't have a Bible at all. They wouldn't spend £5 to get a Bible, whereas Mary Jones saved for 7 years to get a Bible. They wouldn't spend £5 on a Bible when this man sold everything that he had in order to buy the field. And those that have the Bible, this incomparable treasure, it's like the hidden treasure. It's like the treasure of Oak Island. It's like buying Oak Island and saying, I own the treasure of Oak Island. But if you can't get to it, then you may say, I am unimaginably rich. But in reality, you're poverty stricken because your treasure is buried, because it's hidden, because it's not used. Those who have Bibles in their homes are unimaginably rich. But they don't know it. And they don't use it, and it's not accessible to them because their hearts are closed and their minds are diverted. When they open the book, they don't see it as it is. God breathed the Word of God like no other book, fantastic in every way. And they open it, and they open it at random, and they read something, and they say, it doesn't do anything for me, because I have no understanding of what this book is. But you and I know that this book has time and time and time again spoken to us with living power of the things of God and their application to our lives. This man bought the field, but he hid the treasure. Now we read that he was joyful, though. Now we should, he sold all he had and he bought that field. We should be extremely joyful if we have the Bible, but it's of no value to us if we don't read it. What value is buried treasure if we can't dig it up? The interesting thing here is that these men in Oak Island, and I'm sure this comes out over the series, that every year they come along and they're hopeful, and every year they invest more money and more time, and every year at the end of the season they say, we can't do any more this season, this is the end of it, we've got to finish now, the money has run out, the time has run out. Next year they come back hopeful, they introduce new technology, they come up with new equipment and bigger diggers and all kinds of engineering works, and the same thing happens at the end of that. And they say no more time and no more money. And they earn money by their series and so on. And it becomes gripping viewing. And people everywhere, perhaps men especially, are gripped by this. In a sense, it's almost as though it's not the treasure, it's what they're digging out of it that counts. But the thing here is this. They're showing what it takes. They would do this for earthly treasure. But we won't do it for the Word of God. We won't dig into the Word of God. We won't get to the end of the year and say that the time is up and I've dug so little. I could have spent so much more time studying God's Word. I could have spent so much more time in fellowship with him. Now I'm going to take the analogy further. I'm going to say this. The Bible isn't just treasure. It's really more like a treasure chest. So it's as though we've dug up a treasure chest now. And there it is. And everybody says, look at my magnificent chest. And along comes someone and says, well, aren't you going to open it? Well, of course I'm going to open it. I have a Bible. If I have a Bible, I have a treasure chest. This is my treasure chest. But aren't you going to open it? Aren't you going to open it? We cannot be wise unto salvation simply by holding a Bible. We may hold the book of books. We may have something in our hands which is worth more than anything else in this world. You can let Jeff Bezos keep his billions. You can let Elon Musk keep his billions. You can let Bill Gates keep his billions. They can have that. Give me the Bible. Give me the Word of God, and I am the richest man in the world. But but the Bible tells us about the greater riches. It tells us where to find them, how to seek them. So now I'm comparing the Bible to a treasure chest and saying that what's in the Bible is the real treasure. And the whole purpose of the whole Bible is to tell us about Jesus, is to tell us about who he is. Now, Jesus himself told us to lay up treasure in heaven where moth doth not moths don't eat it, basically, and rust doesn't corrupt it. The Lord Jesus Christ told us to lay up treasure in heaven. There are many who concern themselves with treasure in this world. There are many who are very concerned to make money. There are very many who are very concerned about houses and lands and estates and status. Status is the big thing, isn't it? But the Bible tells us about treasure in heaven. All of those things will be lost, but we are to seek and to lay hold of that treasure in heaven. And this treasure chest, the Bible, is full of heavenly treasure. It's revealed to us. It's shown to us. Not everybody recognizes what it is, but we know what it is. This word, this treasure, this field contains a chest, and in that chest is incomparable treasure. These men who are digging on Oak Island aren't digging on Oak Island because they think they might find a small jug and in it a few coins. They're told and they believe that there is fantastically large amounts of treasure there. And they are so desirous of finding that treasure. Well, what about us? Would we dig for treasure? Would we dig for the treasure of heaven? Would we sell everything we have for it? Would we put everything on one side for the treasure of heaven? Would we give up earthly ambitions? Would we put aside our own reputations? Would we humble ourselves into the dust if necessary, which we must, in order to find that treasure? You see, this Bible is full of treasure. And Jesus said to the scribes and the Pharisees of his day, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. But these are they that speak of me." The whole of the Bible is about Jesus Christ, from Genesis to Revelation. It's about Jesus Christ. We find him in every book of the Bible. In the New Testament, we find him fulfilling the prophecies in the Old Testament concerning him. For example, that he would be born of a virgin, that he would be crucified, and that he would be the sin bearer or the sacrifice that God gave us for our sins. This book is full of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is that treasure. The Lord Jesus Christ is the treasure of heaven. Now, when we compare gold and silver with the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no comparison. Those things will pass away like dross. Those things will have their day and be gone. But Jesus Christ is forever. Jesus Christ is alive. He is near at hand to those who call on him. The Lord Jesus Christ is the treasure of heaven. And for those of us who are Christians, who have obtained that treasure, some of us it's exceedingly great price, although the greater price was paid by the Lord Jesus Christ, the greater price by far, when he bore the penalty for our sins. We know that when we go to be with him, when we die and go to be with him, or when he returns, we will be with him. Our very treasure in heaven, our very treasure for eternity, which we will have and which no one can ever take from us, is Jesus Christ himself. So applying Jesus' parable, this was a man who saw treasure, and the treasure is Jesus Christ himself. And this was a man who said, "I must have that treasure. Everything else in this world can't compare with that treasure, with that person, with that salvation." This was a man who was willing to lose everything for the sake of gaining the Lord Jesus Christ and for the sake of gaining that salvation. If it cost us everything we had, would we still strive to find the Lord Jesus Christ? If it cost us our lives, would we still believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? We would lose our lives, yes, but we would obtain the treasure of heaven. We would obtain the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this treasure that the world doesn't see, that the world doesn't value, you could show the world this treasure and it'll say, treasure? No, but we know the treasure that the Lord Jesus Christ is. We know the treasure that God has set forth in him. We know the treasure of his salvation. We know the treasure that is contained within this treasure chest, his book, the Bible. The Lord Jesus Christ is the treasure of heaven, and we should do everything we can to find him. He says, you will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart. I think there are some men whose whole heart is in finding treasure on Oak Island, and they may find it one day, and it may disappoint them. It may be an anticlimax. It may be fantastical treasure, and they say, all these years, all this time spent, and now we have the treasure, and we feel empty. Very often people in this world do feel empty. Even in small things, we've got to have it, we've got to buy it, we've got to know it, we've got to get it. We get it, and our joy is for a second, and then we move on to the next thing. But with Jesus, we will always be satisfied. The treasure of God is a living person, and he will always satisfy us with his love, and with his fellowship, and with his goodness, and his mercy towards us, he being our shepherd, and we being his lambs. So the question is, where is your treasure? Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And we, or did he say, I'll have to check that, where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. But the key thing is the heart and our treasure are in the same place. The heart and our treasure are in the same place. And if Jesus is our treasure, then our hearts are in heaven. Our mind is in heaven, set on the heavenly things, on the things that are above. Because Jesus Christ is alive today, and he is near at hand, and he loves us, and he gave himself for us. And oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, what he has done for us, oh, his mercy, oh, his goodness. Jesus Christ is the treasure of heaven. What would you give to find him? What would you give to seek him? What would you give to know him? Here is a field, and in it is treasure, and you have the opportunity to obtain that treasure. It's just going to cost you everything, that's all. But the treasure you get is going to be more by far a compensation for what it costs you. And you'll receive far more in return than you ever could have given. Because salvation that comes from God, is salvation for eternity, salvation from all my sins, salvation from death and destruction, salvation from hell, salvation from eternal damnation, salvation for everlasting life. I want to encourage you to seek the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. I want you to encourage you to buy a Bible, and if it costs you everything you have, if you are Jeff Bezos and you can only buy a Bible for $100 billion, then spend $100 billion and buy a Bible. It's more than worth it. More than worth it. The treasure in this book can't be valued in terms of money. The treasure in this book is greater by far, and yet here it is, and we can get it for a few pence. But what we do with it, what we do with it, is so important. Oh, may God show us this treasure. And may he put in our hearts a desire for this treasure. And may we value this treasure. And may we rejoice in this treasure. And may we delight in this treasure. And may we know and love Jesus Christ as our Saviour from all our sins. Let's pray. Father, thank you that Jesus Christ is the treasure of heaven. Oh, Lord, may we walk with you, may we fellowship with you. Thank you that we have a treasure chest packed full of the finest treasure. Thank you that when we have treasure in heaven, it will never be destroyed. Thank you that Jesus is the treasure of heaven. Father, thank you that our sins are forgiven, that the price that was paid for our redemption on the cross of Calvary was infinite, and that all those riches and treasures in Jesus Christ are ours free of charge. If only we find him, if only we seek him with all our hearts and find him, then all the treasures and riches that are in Jesus Christ are ours. Father, I pray that you'd have mercy upon us. I pray, Lord, that those who do not know you would understand, even for the first time, the value, the beauty, and the power of your word. I pray they'd switch their televisions off and their computers off and read the Bible. Father, when they read the Bible, I pray that they'd find Jesus Christ. I pray that they would come under conviction of sin, and I pray that they would turn and repent and believe on him. And these things we ask and pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.